It is time for Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. This is Catherine Hastings. Tonight I'm going to air five poets reading their work. I'm going to start with Susan Brown, who's the author of Buddha's Dogs, published by Four Way Books, and Zephyr, published by Steel Toe Books. Following Susan Brown, I'm going to air Mary Marcia Casoli, Melanie Lynn Morrow Huber, Jack Foley, and myself. We each have a chapbook published in the Ahadatta Reader 3, published by Ahadatta Press earlier this year. So we'll get to that part later on in the show. Right now, here is Susan Brown. She is the winner of the 2009 Steel Toe Books Prize in Poetry, and her book Buddha's Dogs was selected by Ed Hirsch as the winner of the Four Way Books Intro Prize.
The first poems I'm going to read are from my first collection, Buddha's Dogs, published by Four Way Books. Full Moon, Cabo San Lucas. I've drunk enough tequila to walk into the ocean, wearing my dress and sandals, a white flower in my hair, singing words of a John Prine song, I don't know. My friend follows me, swirls, near the bubble of my skirt. I'm in his arms now, floating, looking up at the stars. We might be fish or anemones, happy at last in our true habitat. Then he floats in my arms, his feet in heavy tennis shoes, splayed in a V from his ankles. I could love this man. I could love anyone when we are not on land, when we have no names, and hold each other like this, almost without touching, buoyant in the radiant, watery, dark. And this next poem is the title poem for the book, Buddha's Dogs. I'm at a day-long meditation retreat, 8 hours of watching my mind with my mind, and I already fell asleep twice and nearly fell out of my chair, and it's not even noon yet. In the morning session, I learned to count my thoughts, 10 in 1 minute, and the longest was to leave and go to San Anselmo and shop, then find an outdoor cafe and order a glass of Sancerre, smoked trout with roasted potatoes and baby carrots and a bowl of gazpacho. But I stayed and learned to name my thoughts. So far they are wanting, 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 judgment, sadness. Don't identify with your thoughts, the teacher says. You are not your personality, not your ego identification. Then he bangs the gong for lunch. Whoever, whatever I am, is given instruction in the walking meditation and the eating meditation and walks outside with the other meditators, and we wobble across the lawn like the night of the living dead. I meditate slowly, falling over a few times because I kept my foot in the air too long, towards a bench, sit slowly down, and slowly eat my sandwich, noticing the bread, sourdough, noticing the taste, tuna, sourdough, noticing the smell, sourdough, tuna, thanking the sourdough, the tuna, the ocean, the boat, the fisherman, the field, the grain, the farmer, the saran wrap that kept this food fresh for this body made of food and desire and the hope of getting through the rest of this day without dying of boredom. Sun, then cloud, then sun. I notice a maple leaf on my sandwich. It seems awfully large. Slowly brushing it away, I feel so sad, I can hardly stand it. So I name my thoughts. They are sadness about my mother, judgment about my father, wanting the child I never had. I notice I've been chasing the same thoughts, like dogs, around the same park most of my life. Notice the leaf tumbling gold to the grass. The gong sounds, and back in the hall, I decide to try lying down meditation and let myself sleep. The Buddha in my dream is me, surrounded by dogs, wagging their tails, licking my hands. I wake up for the forgiveness meditation, the teacher saying, Never put anyone out of your heart. And the heart opens and knows it won't last and will have to open again and again, chasing those dogs around and around in the sun, then cloud, then sun. In the art gallery, the painting of flowers next to the painting of flames. And I remember that time, years ago, when the psychiatrist said, "You feel too much. You are too sensitive. Take these," giving me a bottle of pills. I took them to the beach, watched light become flame on the water, and along the ragged cliffs, small flowers like blue stars. The world a painting I couldn't live in. I opened the bottle, then put it down, pills spilling on the sand. Waves carried the flames and didn't mind the burning, the arising from and disappearing into the vastness. I swam, let the waves take me, then treaded water, looking at the sky, a silver tray full of the most beautiful nothing. I swam back. The water was black. I could sink beyond caring, but I wanted to live, to be there with the beauty and the burning, and let it be too much. The next poems I'm going to read are from my new book, Zephyr. Forgive. So much was forgiven today. The night forgave the dawn for stealing the stars. The weeds forgave the gardener for yanking them out at the roots. The fence forgave the ivy for breaking its slats. Amanda forgave the cop car for almost hitting her head on, chasing the bad guys who the good guys, if they're really good, will have to forgive. Sometimes you have to pretend so much of your life didn't happen to manage another day of forgiveness, or to stay in the same room with that special someone you wish would fall off a cliff. Did forgiveness begin with the nightmare when you were a child, of being stabbed in the back, the knife going through your heart and into the mattress? Your parents sat with you in the living room. "Just a dream," they said. Let the soul forgive its sadness as you crash through the opening into this world, as you set out on your journey, crushing the earth beneath your feet. Living in Kyoto. Even in Kyoto, hearing the cuckoos cry, I long for Kyoto. Basho. I run on the path behind my town, drooling dogs pawing at my legs, moms trudging behind strollers, babies wearing little lumpy canvas hats and looking imperiously cranky like, "When will I grow up and get out of here?" While I wonder, "When will I grow up and get into here?" This is it. Earth's the place to be, there being no other. So I follow the baby posse's trail of cookie crumbs past the blue dust of eucalyptus leaves, October's gold falling on thistle and poison oak. I want to live longing for Kyoto, while I'm in Kyoto, for the shine on the rock on the side of the road, for the light inside everything, even sorrow. Zephyr. The father wants to be loved, but so does gum. Look at the way it sticks to your shoe, and for miles of tumbleweeds and deserted husbands, it won't come unglued. You could go barefoot. You could turn into a zephyr. But wherever you roam, the father, or something like him, finds you. Clump, clump. One leg shorter than the other. One bumpy mile closer to the airy insubstantial. Who wins? Everything will happen to us is written across our precious grudges. There are choices like sand or dandelions, and they blow away into the sea. Meanwhile, you can make a castle with a moat around it, or a salad with flowers. Choose. I love you. I love you not. The traffic lights aren't changing. They're afraid. You'll never get any further than yellow.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you were just listening to Susan Brown reading from her books Buddha's Dogs and Zephyr. I should also mention that she has a CD recorded with Kim Adonisio, Swearing, Smoking, Drinking, and Kissing. Right now, let's move on to the Aha Dada Reader 3, published by Aha Dada Press. This is a compilation of four chapbooks by four different poets, Mary Marcia Casoli, C-A-S-O-L-Y, Melanie Lynn Morrow Huber, Jack Foley, and myself. Jesse Glass is the general editor of the Aha Dada Reader 3, but it is Jack Foley who actually did a lot of the work for this book. He wrote an introduction for the whole book, and he also wrote an introduction for each book that appears within the Aha Dada Reader 3. The poet, musician, and songwriter Jake Berry says, each of these poets is original, even revolutionary in her or his own right. Hastings is the mythopoetic weaver of ancient tales and primal forces into new open formulations. Casoli reimagines the world in vivid detail through magical processes projected outward. Foley is the master of multivocal field poetics and simultaneous perspective. Huber is a visionary realist, drafting sinewy twists and glittering shards of transformation. What they have in common is that none of them practice the art according to dominant contemporary or past modes. Here are four distinct poetries that are based neither in academic theory or ego-centered confession. For those and many other reasons, this volume is an essential addition to any library of the 21st century poetry. I'm going to begin with Mary Marcia Casoli. She is the author of Run to Tenderness, published by Pantograph and Goldfish Press in 2002, and Lost Pages of Bird Lore, which was published by the Small Change series of Word Temple Press. Here is Mary Marcia Casoli reading from Australia Dreaming, her chapbook that appears in the Aha Dada Reader 3.
Australia Dreaming. On the other side of the world, life is just like here, except flocks of sulfur-crested cockatoos dive like stark white angels into the dark vampire cape of city parks, and flying foxes scratch their heads upside down like friars. The lagoon of forgotten praise waterfalls into the next lagoon, where kangaroos graze the world, and whatever scratches by day or night tries to keep itself hidden, except sometimes a paddy melon wallaby gets caught out in the dark. The torchlight beam dives for his startled shape, and so he dives into bushes, twitches his ears, alert to the nearby lagoon, lapping its humid hurt to shore. How darkly the night glistens with constellations all out of this world. No dingoes howl, no barking owls call, except something shy and mysterious scratches, the way an echidna scratches dirt or a duck-billed platypus disappears diving below the cane toads, drumming without exception, without pause. Azure kingfishers skim the placid lagoon. Myriad time zones ripple through this vast, unworldly planet. The laughing kookaburra blinks his dark eyelashes three times slowly before gulping down dark ochre streaks of barramundi bones and scratchy frill-deck lizards. No one in the world knows how high the next rainbow bee-eater will dive skyward. Nobody ever tells you where the aboriginal lagoon of Never Never is imprisoned, except a huge boab tree, or an emu egg, or maybe nothing at all except the great red rock, the dark heart pulsing, emanating into each spoonbill lagoon, into thick mosquito-infested scratches of tropical mangrove, into each seedy sandbar crocodile dive, and under every tessellated brick. Way over on the world's flip side, scratch comes to scratch, just like here, except rainbows dive at dark epics bloom on wingbeats of brogus, cranes over a dusky lagoon for the way the world lives. Hazelwood. Change my life, falling in the midst of your hazel. Hazel, a color of two, a kind of green, change in the shade of leavings. At noon, the hazelnut cracks. Hazel, which hazel? Neither one nor the other relieves what I feel. A plume wafts down midair, circles, lands where the dragon lies still, darkened hazel woods. Blaze of a cat's eye blink. The seasons hold. Hazel, moss, resin, certain tones. Find myself searching. Sorrow into interwoven joy. Hazel, so insistent. I call to you, Hazel. Come, be more Hazel. Notice there is no haze to burn off. Dream into brown or green sheets. Forgotten places. My floor tiles, my morning, my waking. Hazel widens the heart, not like a river, not like a house, but is half river, is half house. I don't really know you, but love. Blindsided. Then she whispered under her breath, "Can't you stop it from moving around while we're talking?" I was born with this retarded child. I forget that she is so free with the absence of sight. I forget which is the left side and which the blind side. There is no place that she doesn't go with me. But I've had to learn to be patient. She talks all the time. She is wanderlust. Reads all my emotional braille. She roams, imperceptibly, away from me, drawn to the sun rolling around in its socket. She is wild with her own dreaming, wrapped in a white nimbus cloud. She knows the fine fingernail eclipse of our world. She is unaware of the textured blueness of curtains. She is always unprepared, preoccupied with white walls, vermicelli, iambic air. Growing up, we used to wonder how two eyes could share their window seat without always seeing double. One foot shifts to the other. I look out for her, and she watches out within. Sometimes she still tells me stories. She teaches me how to navigate my dreams, the way I look both ways crossing the street. She is still a child. Children never ignore her. They lean into her, invite her to move. They ask me, has she ever fallen way back into my head? And like if she ever did come loose, how would I ever get her back? I don't know, I say. I can't imagine how we ever could be made separate. 30 years and more have made my left side headstrong, heavy bent to shape and focus. I can never see the other side of my nose without a mirror. I forget what someone means pointing at my good eye. You won't look into my eyes, afraid, like my eye never was. But don't you understand? How could anyone begrudge this second sight? Cottages. What I'm telling you is I wouldn't mind. If I could, I'd lease the cottage next door, down the block. I'd like to observe your windows, the cycles of light, slight movement of curtain or wooden blinds, you stepping out quick for the paper, to be there to say, come on, let's walk around the block, for sudden playful conversations. I'd come by often, I'd borrow your recipes, swipe gumdrops from your jar, nab a few chapters of any book I just happened to find, and read them on your doorstep. Knock on my door any time of morning or night, you'd be welcome, even if I was out of my mind, and the house a mess as it usually is, typically unorganized. There are plenty of times I need a lift, you too. Anyway, sometimes I tell you kindly to get lost, but really, I'd let you in. Company makes misery an outcry. The other day I saw two women at the cafe with one pair of earphones divided between them, one in one ear, one earbud in her friend's ear, and they were both bouncing to the music while each read a different magazine. Could we ever be like that? Well, maybe not like that, but I'd like to take a run on a short leash until I got tired having a sore neck. Pulling this way, or you dragging me away with you. Sure, I'd whine, but that's my way. We know things about each other that we never even have to speak. We'd get busy. We'd take time. We'd have invitations, a secret code. We'd fall out. We'd fall in. We'd have a bead on it. the rising sun, the sunset, which way the crow flies. And the shuttle bus rumbles around the corner, and would you just check to see if I locked the front door? And do you happen to have an extra egg? I don't know. Just because we live our lives satellite spark the distance, what would it be like living in a sort of Armistead Maupin suburb? My best laugh, my best cries, a quick tea, a massage. See you later meant later soon. We'd catch an afternoon, or maybe talk, or not. Maybe I'd seem sort of hostile and hermitage, but you'd know. And wouldn't mind, even now, I get that feeling. Keep leasing different cottages, keep moving every third full moon, redecorating myself, throwing out some, recycling some, turning up the music to the right kind of loud, enticing you to open up again, and sometimes I'd string my laundry line right out to the telephone pole to pick up, I don't know, what they used to maybe call vibes. I don't know all the names yet, but I walk your neighborhood. I hop the bus. I cop a ride. This next poem is Song of the Whipbird, and Jack's going to join me. Song of the Whipbird. Sibilant.
Mystifying.
Omnipresent.
Silver leaf.
Nadir of sun.
Twine.
Garnering.
Velvet moss. Orphic strangler. Flutings. Figs.
Tethered to a dark
canopy.
Half moon.
Airy.
Ellipsis.
Elusive.
Weft note suspension.
A bridge.
Hangs.
Midair.
Iridescently.
A lash.
Plunking.
Of a sudden.
Brandishing the moist
hollow.
Irrepressible.
Muted.
Rainforest.
Halting.
Dead still.
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 I am bird. I am bird heavy with weightlessness, bird hungry for something unnamed. I am bird refusing one place to perch, holding cilantro in her beak, meddling in nettles. I am bird lifting a twig twice as big as herself, throwing off beads of water, unraveling stones. I am bird fragile, bird bone strong. I am a bird hitting glass. I am bird shy of that other bird in the mirror. I am bird song so caught in my throat I had to let it out. I am bird prayer and reluctance, bird pulsar, ozone, Sanskrit, and columbine wings. I am bird. Alone. On a night when the air stung the stars, I felt the bandicoot run my spine, heard the trees glowering with possum eyes. This was a bitter leaf I chewed, tapping gently the tent pole. Still I'd seen saints trapped in termite mounds. The distance between our swags engulfed us. I felt alone in my shame, not feeling right, and my body rebelling that it's not wrong. Without hug or kiss or word that night, nothing to tell me, be still. To rue those itches, aches, this constipated conspiracy. No, you slept well, while I stared out to a foreign moon.
And that was Mary Marcia Casoli reading from Australia Dreaming, her chapbook that is included in the Aha Dada Reader 3.
You're listening to Word Temple here on KRCB 91.1 and 90.9 FM. And don't forget, it's our spring pledge drive. If you're inspired by the work you're hearing on Word Temple, feel free to give us a call at 707-584-2020. Volunteers are on hand right now to take your pledge. Let's get back to Word Temple.
Next, I'm going to read a few of my own poems that appear in this book. A short bio for me is not only am I the host of Word Temple on KRCB FM, I'm also the author of Updraft, published by Finishing Line Press, the founder of the Word Temple Poetry Series in Sebastopol, and the publisher of the Small Change Series of Word Temple Press. For all Word Temple info, you can go to wordtemple.com. Now, here are a few poems from my chapbook, Fog and Light, that appear in the Aha Dada Reader 3. Field of gold blades waiting. Redwoods waiting too. The wind's slow hot breath hisses through as if air itself is forbidden. Beneath ear level, a crackling strike of stalk against stalk, each stirring a flint in the act of decision. The field arches, opens her cracked mouth to Virga veil, fairies flown from flowers, bees burrowing nectar underground, into the burning bowels of earth, the long evaporated landscape of another planet, a stage of moon before complete moonness. Birds drop black cords into the dust of her eyes. Once there was water here, music piped in from a far-off civilization. How many miles up is that wisp? Legs posed in mid-dash, horns of an imp, laughing. Westward, clouds form wingless birds, dogs and flowers, hail and pink. Dusk. From his leafy window, the owl stares down with a boy's lust upon mice slipping through, bats with finger bones of men navigating the dark. Next, I'll read a few things from a sequence within the chapbook called Notes from the City of Fog and Light. Fog knows what love isn't, an erasing of existence. San Francisco Tonka. The foghorn's moaning over the water and hills, weeping how deeply the two-noted soloist pulls us into dreams. Bared bosom, mother city, with your walls of flashing light and multitudinous tongues, you are felt with human hearts. Who sleeps there in your glittering gut? What child there wanders the near garden aisle of palaces, fishermen in dreams, an equal among equals? Let the children be sotto voce, quietly sing their chores. Let them be bird-like, faint syllables chirped up through their throats into whispered music flow. Sea-raking winds soften on steps of streets rising, little stairs, little seats lined with stars dropped musically there. A dream, 2 a.m. on Monday. The hospice nurse sprays something over his emptied body. Do you see him now? A black, cloudy figure forms in the air, as if from ash. Somehow, he ends up in a low chair in the dining room, maybe the white chair from the sunroom, as if he doesn't know he's dead. At first, his loose clothes cover him completely. Soon, they fall away from his face. I can tell he is the same age as when he died, but his wrinkles are gone, his head is bald, like a baby. He speaks softly. I can't remember what he says. I go back to cooking. He goes back to his room. From the kitchen I hear the nurse's voice and the sound of spraying. She says he is leaving again, that he is on his way back. I ask if this means he is going for good. I walk to the room and see the nurse standing with a small black cloud in her arms. Love is a black cloud. Ashes for Frank Decco. On the day she told us the cancer had spread to bone and brain, we went to the car where, once you were seated, I asked, "Where do you want to go?" Then said, "I'd take you anywhere." Today, I did the same, put you inside the car, strapped you in, then, with my hand on the velvet bag that held the urn of your body, asked, "Where do you want to go?" And knew, before it was out of my mouth completely, you were already there, that I was the only lost one, wondering, now what? Where? Uffizi. Square blocks of light. Path in and out of shadow. Frosted windows, women of clean, cold marble, What would be the use of getting to know each other? White shoulders, white necks, white empty eyes. The maiden look, your eyes on me, dismembered. To lean toward the nude torso, white shaft of sunlight striking from the back, armless, defenseless as a girl. A new view of the world, fragmented. What would be the use? A simple breast lends grace to stone, ivory skull, closed face, like a flower shut tight. One hand under a chin, your smile was a corpse, the other at an ear, and then lessons. Heart encased in rock, a scar, or floated down the light shaft. Love deceives, to skin before the sun falls into darkness, your mouth. What dwells there? Steam, the blueness of a river. El viento en Santa Rosa. Está el mismo del amor, constante con sus rotaciones en temperatura, la dirección. Pero allí está, lo siento la, en el forsythia temblante, en el cielo bajo, con su cordón goteando. Está allí, en el perro durmiendo, inconsciente de su muerte o de la muerte de su hombre. The wind in Santa Rosa is the same as love, constant with its shifts in temperature and direction. But it is there. I feel it in the trembling forsythia, in the low sky with its dripping lace. It is there in the dog sleeping, unaware of her death or the death of her man. The hated relation. The death smell is sweet. Mostly with cancer patients. BJ. Everyone hates him, the way he just appears out of the black berserk, invades your body at once, or stays, as Miles put it, local as a mother. Breast, pancreas, colon, lung, etc. He slams you to your atheist knees, begging for a miracle. Prayers tear up from the brink as he unmakes you and unmakes you. The impossible blue sky becomes a dark mosque of song, an upturned cask of shadow. The hated relation doesn't bother to pack or unpack. He's here, and then on to the next and the next. If he says winter is in spring or summer, he's right. In the end, he smells much sweeter than he is. First berry. It hung ripe and red beneath the net. Black veil. You pinched its stem with a sharp nail. Separation. I sliced it through with a paring knife. Parting. You ate half, I the other. Red berry, red juice, red. We said, our first child. Gone. We had to swallow it before it turned. The memory of its sweetness, the memory of its sweetness, still lives on my tongue. Field song. Disappeared in darkness, the trees stand loudly in the night. Crickets quick pulse brightly between stars of twirled nests and the glass-lined dwelling. From the redwood, the owl's long, soft trill on the exhale. Insects, birds, and angels call together as if our frail beauty matters not at all. Seismology. The moon doesn't show its face in the city, and so we guess how to behave, whether to give in to love again, howl our pain, or hide under the cold bed where darkness thumps its Olympian skull. The old hotel sits on abandoned ships with sealed bottles of champagne, their captains gone off for gold that never panned out. Our wish is just for ground to act like ground again, to hold us firmer than fog, than water, for the moon to break through and knock us down, tell us what to do with these shaken ruins. I have to read this poem for my dog, Joy in the Air We Have and in What We Have of Earth, Pablo Neruda, How Much Happens in a Day. My Chihuahua, Federico Garcia Lorca, is twitching on my lap, making sounds more like a kitten than a famous Spanish dog, as his dream enlarges to a 40s cinema screen. They say dogs see only in black and white. He says, yip, without knowing. This morning he saw a light flash from the white legs of a horse, smelled shadows I once swam in, swallowed the suffering held in the palm of a woman bent low to comment on his tiny, sand-colored body. She held her cat tightly in her arms, as she did the day before and the day before that. It's always the first time. She asks his name and makes a new observation. Today, as he sniffed around a patch of weeds, she said, "Oh, that's how he eats." She was pleased, and so we let her believe. Hannes Lupus Federico Garcia Lorca. Together we wander the world of shoes and clouds, and as he turns out dream after dream, the minutes of the night fall like golden leaves, and my own dreams fill with honey. Okay, I'm going to move on now to the two final chapbooks that are included in the Aha Dada Reader 3. The Memory of Paper by Melanie L. Morrow Huber and A Disordered City by Jack Foley. Melanie Morrow Huber lives in Virginia, and we don't have a recording of her reading any of her poems, so I'm going to read a few myself. Again, these are from her chapbook, The Memory of Paper. Feathers and Flute. Below the plume there is the down, and how else would a white dove become a phoenix but stitched within an ivory refuge for the heated brain? A thin spine makes a better headrest. A quill, however, knows no mercy. Softness requires a certain amount of power, a reverence for nesting, or some would say, a precise amount of time before the body conforms to the pillow. The impression, though slight, endures. I discovered this once in the temple, when the air started to give a spike of white came whiffling down to the prayer altar. It wasn't my temple, and it wasn't my prayer, but I bowed my head anyway and said yes. I hear there is a darkly carved cavern where winged fossils fill the walls, and oscillations of the night sky do not matter if you enter here. I followed dusk's trail to the uneven tracks of dawn, but there was no one there, no cave, just a crystal surface of scales above an empty arroyo. Sometimes it is too much to take in. Once the road was icy and cold, once the road, a woman lost control. Did they find her? Light as a feather, light as a feather, stiff as a board, light as... My fingers stagger across those scales, all along the reptile's twisted spine. He trembles and tells me, "You can taste the air for bitterness and consume yourself if need be." He is as dreadful as Quetzalcoatl. Cast aside your paper skin, but soft, so much softer than I thought, and dance in your bones. Freak Show 1. Tesla's Pigeon Wife. The wind blew all night. This morning it is still shredding limbs and knocking the wind chimes down. There is no logic to what we love. At first, the lure was a breadcrumb trail she followed to his window, where with peculiar and solemn awe he watched her coo. The gentle swell of her white throat transformed him. The sound, pure and seductive, made everything conductively clear to him if he could just divide it all by three, the ledge, feathers, and flight, the wind, coils, and alternating currents, the spin of the earth, the soil, and gravity. He'd build a tower for her, an electric tower which would charge the air with lightning bolts. Their crackling limbs would reach through the night sky to the filament inside of glass, a hushed glow 3 miles in the distance. Then he sang, so softly she was coaxed inside. He named her his muse, and she spent the rest of her days pillowed in a metal cage. When she was gone, he made an altar from her dried, fluted bones. Nothing made sense again. Lunar Navigator. My child, my son, his body, embracing his age awkwardly. 13, he's memorized maps of the moon, from the light of the northwestern limb to the shadows of the crater Grimaldi, and he dreams of a reality without gravity, feathers and stones. Stones and feathers, he knows how to calculate his weight on Mars. He can tell you how many light years to the spiral galaxy. He can explain why a rock and a penny drop to Earth at the same velocity, but he cannot find his face because he can't find a hand to push the hair from his own forehead, look the girl he likes in the eye, and smile. Sea Spray, The Mermaid's Happy Ending. We are verbs. We are verbs until we die, and then maybe we become nouns. Robert Hass. Sleep's a function of paper hands and fairy wands. So sing all children when they wake. This sound, a current, soaks the cradle the way the ocean sieves itself then curls up with a sand, or the way an abalone nestles foam like captured tide pools in a cochlea. But baby, say, who will remember the words or the melody to this undertow, this song which sucks us down? Why do you ask? She dances among the turquoise which grows here like trees. Far, 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 away, 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 your dream, your dream, your dream is dreaming, you, you, you. Come Sun Up. Soldier on the front line, my brother wakes in the west at 5 a.m. because someone has to. There will come a wobble. The stomach will start to eat itself. Scientists aren't so sure, but the Mayans say so. The earth will shimmer, the ground around explode, temples in Yonaguni will rise, the orders will come down. Hold this ground, hold it, no matter what comes over the horizon. I will take the prayer beads from my neck. As the bullets are arranged in tally marks, my breath will fog white into the pitch, and I will say goodbye again and again. Those were some of the poems from Melanie Huber's chapbook, The Memory of Paper. And now Jack Foley will read some of the poems from his chapbook, A Disordered City. Foley is a poet and critic. Some of you know him from his own radio show, Cover to Cover, on Berkeley's KPFA. His books include Letters, Lights, Words for Adele, Gershwin, Exiles, Adrift, which was nominated for a Northern California Book Reviewers Award, Greatest Hits, and Ash on an Old Man's Sleeve. Here now is Jack Foley.
This is my December 1961 poem. Upon leaving romantic Atlantic City. The mother sea exploded with a roar before we put the lights out and it vanished. Not even the ladies marching on the boardwalk were storm enough to pull us down. We rode out the daylight dreaming of drowsy islands where the water's calm. Night was our harbor when the midwife, love, folded us in with its impossibilities, fished out our pieces till the game made sense. Sweetheart, forgive the liars and the fools who shipped us to this place. They thought it best. Sleep will bear you into gentler water. where painted characters of kings and castles glitter like islands, and I will close your ears to the disarranged palaver of pawns and landlubbers. This next poem, Sweeney Adrift, is based on an ancient Irish poem, Sweeney Astray or Sweeney the Mad. The poem was translated by J.G. O'Keefe in 1913 and by Seamus Heaney in 1983. The poem is about the tension between pagan Ireland and Christian Ireland. It is also about male anger. Pagan Sweeney furiously attacks a priest and is cursed as a result. Sweeney either goes mad and believes himself to be a bird, or else actually becomes a bird. At any rate, he roams around the countryside and nests in trees. He does finally convert to Christianity, and all is well. My poem is not a translation of the ancient Irish poem, but I do use that poem as the basis for themes and variations of my own. This is only a section of Sweeney Adrift. Welcome to the house of failure. See, these are the structural bases of the house, its beams and arteries, its artificial light, its hands, its vast appendices. Who is not here? The range of things delights us. Welcome, welcome. See, there is the door. It opens for us. Welcome. What, Sweeney, what have you done, and where have you done it? Sweeney clubbed the man, not once, but twice, bashed his head in, hurt him badly. Oh, Sweeney, they'll not stand for that, surely, surely that's no way to behave. Sweeney ended his tirade, his wild life then. They all said, enough, enough, Sweeney, surely that's no way for a man to behave. Sweeney kicked his eyes out, hurt him, broke his ribs, twisted the tongue, not once, but twice. Bones broke, brittle for Sweeney, his trophy taken, the life taken, the balls bashed, the life ended. Oh, Sweeney, she bespoke him sorely, oh. And Sweeney repented then, turned churchman, spoke vows, made retreats, novenas, bled holy water, ended his wild life, told tales, made miracles, believed, ended his wild life, turned goodman, churchman, died of age, and soul now surely turned to heaven. Sweeney. Sun, the slow turn of resolving, moved as ever us, as ever if. Stay. I go out again with money in my pockets. Click. How many times have I asked you, spoken your name in this darkness? I have nothing to offer. In the air, endless variations, speech. Bare turns, open to the light. She stopped for a moment and looked back. It is not easy to tell. They saw each other only momentarily. It was not easy to tell. Your book is a big, crazy, delicious effort, fundamentally great, highly interesting, jocular, kinky, lovely, magnificently nice, opulent, pretty, quick, redolent, snazzy, tricky, undoubtedly very whimsical, Xmas yummy. Zounds! The night came, and a storm, and Sweeney's misery and mania were so great that he cried out, I, who have neither another nor now in the dim light, love, possibly, frame, make this howl, love, quick, I wrote you yesterday. Sweeney returns, and the lies about his son's death have caused him to. All day, all night, Sweeney clings to the branch and opens, spreads his wings. He is now adrift. Spoken to, uneasy in the night, pressure. Remember this, friend, hand extended. Is the problem presence? What does it matter if we love each other? Is the problem presence? What does it matter if we love each other? Is the problem presence? What does it matter if we love each other? Is the problem presence? What does it matter if we love each other? bear, the bear sun, opes his eyes. The master of the mountain is of special interest to us, as he is the master of the bears. On the one hand he is a man, on the other a real bear, only of unusually large size. All other bears are his fellow tribesmen. The slaughter of a bear represents the departure of the soul of the animal to its master, and a subsequent return to earth is expected. It is not to the beasts themselves that offerings and prayers are made, but to their masters or owners. Grandfather, old man, he, taking the skin off a slain bear, they say, grandfather, owner of the earth, don't think ill of us. We did not do this to you. The Yakut did it. Your silver bones we shall put in a special house. Fish dragon, blind and eyeless, naked as a human finger, Sweeney, Pueblo, bridge, creek, cameras, clicking, old woman, looking, eyes, thinking. We're going to have lunch with the guy who published Nailed to the Coffin of Life. His name is Loss Glazier. His name is Loss? Yes. We're going to have lunch with Loss? Yes. I've been having lunch with Loss from most of my life. The bear has always been the weather prophet because he presages by his emergence the return of spring to the wintry world. Juan Eloso, Juan Deloso, Ivanko, the bear's son. Since matter itself is in a state of flux and is deprived of that form through which it takes shape and is made manifest, they took the dampness and humidity of caves, their darkness, and as the poet says, their murky as an appropriate symbol for the properties of the cosmos. The Persian mystagogues initiate their candidates by explaining to them the downward journey of souls and their subsequent return, and they call the place where this occurs a cave, descending paralysis. Bull, Lord of Genesis, sun, shadow, there is blood on my face. God damn it, you know that goddamn guy, you know what that guy said to me? Sweeney picked himself up off the hard, bitter, desolate, frozen ground. Again, mother, would you please answer the door? I've been standing here for 15 minutes. Couldn't be helped. I was on the crapper. What does it mean to use a word like that? Sleep a little, love. For thou needst not fear the least. I am Sweeney, alas. My wretched body is utterly dead. A year have I been on the mountain, without music, without sleep. Madman am I. John Anson wrote 100 rounds, as I have written only one. Oh, listen as his name resounds. John Anson. My little round might be the sun. The planets in their daily rounds must circle it in unison. His trope might be the separate gowns of long dead ladies, now at one, these separated, joining sounds. John, Anne's son, how many times have I asked you, spoken your name in this darkness? I have nothing to offer in the air. Endless variations. Speech. It was night. The heat was still glutinous, and no wind stirred. The whirling dee-dees died away to the east as the glowing orange orb of the sun drifted to the west in a purple miasma, a narrative of ideas, not of events. And Orpheus, will you bring your mother with you? Those were passages from my book, A Disordered City, which is one of 4 chapbooks in Ahadatta Reader 3. This next poem is a tribute to the great gypsy guitarist Django Reinhardt. His name, Django, means I awake. The illiterate, professor, speaks with his guitar. He is a dark gypsy, with mustache and sly smile. He is speaking farum, farum. He is speaking farum, farum. On a subject of the most, on a subject of the most. Immense, immediate, life-changing. Immense, immediate, life-changing. Interest, interest. And his chords tell us, and his chords tell us. What we can do, what we can do, what we can do, what we can do. Improv improves, sings the guitar. Improv improves, sings the guitar. To a classroom masquerading, to a classroom masquerading as a nightclub, as a nightclub, or a concert hall, or a concert hall. The professor, the professor. Rat-a-tats and riddles, rat-a-tats and riddles. Roars and rambles, roars and rambles. Tells us with superb intelligence, tells us with superb intelligence of Charlie Parker, of Charlie Parker, and of wild and of dark gypsy, gypsy ways, ways. Django Reinhardt is, of course, a great hero of the Romani people.
This is Catherine Hastings. That concludes the Aha Daughter Reader 3 portion of tonight's program. Many thanks to Mary Marcia Casoli, Melanie Huber, and Jack Foley. Once again, the chapbooks included in the Aha Daughter Reader 3 are Australia Dreaming by Mary Marcia Casoli, Fog and Light by myself, The Memory of Paper, Melanie L. Morrow Huber, and A Disordered City by Jack Foley. The next live Word Temple Poetry Series reading will take place on Saturday, June 18th at 7 p.m. at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, 6780 Depot Street in Sebastopol. Robin Ekus is a former Stegner Fellow at Stanford, the author of The Mansion of Happiness, and recipient of a Rona Jaffe Foundation Award for Emerging Women Writers. Will be appearing along with Keith Ekus, her husband, who is a Jones Lecturer in Creative Writing at Stanford University. He'll be reading from his collection of poems, Pima Road Notebook. Also, Susan Brown, who appeared earlier on tonight's program, will be coming to read from Buddha's Dogs and Zephyr. That's Saturday, June 18th, 7 p.m. at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Let's go out now with Anne Sexton reading Lullaby. I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. Thanks for listening.
Lullaby. It is a summer evening. The yellow moths sag against the lock screens, and the faded curtains suck over the windowsills. And from another building, a goat calls in his dreams. This is the TV parlor in the best ward at Bedlam. The night nurse is passing out the evening pills. She walks on two erasers, padding by us one by one. My sleeping pill is white. It is a splendid pearl. It floats me out of myself, my stung skin as alien as a loose bolt of cloth. I will ignore the bed. I am linen on a shelf. Let the others moan in secret. Let each lost butterfly go home. Old woolen head, take me like a yellow moth while the goat calls hush-a-bye.